All right, we've been going through the Gospel of John, and last time we went through John chapter 11, and today we're going to go through chapter 12. And in these chapters, it's been going through the last few days and weeks prior to Jesus' death. And it's the final things that he did before that event took place. And there's going to be quite a few chapters after this that are going to talk about the night of his betrayal and his death, and many things that he said to the 12 apostles. But in these chapters, we see some things that Jesus is declaring and explaining and showing, not just to the apostles, but to all the believers generally, the last few open things that he said and did before his death. And so there were some things that the people that believed on him, that he had told them, that they didn't fully comprehend, they didn't fully believe. And so we saw that he went to raise Lazarus from the dead, one of the final miracles, big miracles that he did, because they understood that he told them that he was going to be the one who would raise the dead, but it didn't seem that they fully comprehended what that meant. They didn't fully seem to understand that he had the power right then and there to raise men from the dead. And so he went and raised Lazarus from the dead that they might believe. And we saw that many did indeed, in understanding his power, they did indeed believe on him. And it confirmed the things that Martha and the others were scared to fully embrace. And so they were able to have a fuller belief in him. And so he went and did that. He said he did that they might believe. Not that those who didn't believe would believe, not that they would suddenly be convinced, but that those that already did would more fully believe. And so we've seen repeatedly how the miracles, when the people won't believe and trust him, won't just believe and trust his word, the miracles don't suddenly come along and convince them to believe on him. But those that already do believe, he has done various things, various works that he said his Father has given him to glorify him, that those that do believe would more fully comprehend and understand him. And so that was one of those things, when he went and raised Lazarus from the dead. And we saw that those that didn't believe, they still didn't believe. The Pharisees got together and took this counsel that they need to destroy Lazarus too. Not just Jesus, but they need to kill Lazarus because many people are believing on him. Those that we saw that they were covetous, they were interested in preserving their position within the Jewish nation. They were scared that the Romans would come away and take away their place, and they didn't want that to happen. And so we saw that they weren't interested in the flock, as Jesus told them. They were serving man and mammon rather than God. And so they would not believe, though one rose from the dead. So there were these different things that Jesus wanted those that did believe to understand before he leaves. And we're going to see him continue to declare some of that here in chapter 12, the final chapter before the Passover. So John chapter 12, verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and had the bag, and bare what was put therein. So we see that even among Jesus' disciples, there is one who is covetous, who is not actually interested in the flock, who is not actually interested in all of this, these things that Jesus has done. He's only really interested in things of this world. Jesus told them before that there was one of them that was a devil. And so we see Judas Iscariot, he's not actually there. He's been there hearing the word. He's been there in hearing everything that Jesus said and seeing everything that he did. And yet, he didn't believe on him fully. He didn't want to come out of darkness into the light. He was still living in darkness. He was content just to shadow in the branches, like Jesus talked about in the parable of the devils in the other gospels, how they shadowed in the branches of the mustard seed that grew up into a great tree. He was content to just shadow in the branches, to still be in darkness, even while he was right there with Jesus, seeing everything that Jesus did. And it didn't convince him to believe. And so if someone is more focused on things of this world, if they're covetous like that, if they're more interested, if they're serving mammon and not God, they cannot serve two masters. And so what he was really serving is he wasn't serving Christ. He wasn't serving God. He was still serving his flesh. He was still serving these things, and he didn't want to leave that darkness. And so even though he saw everything that Jesus did, it did him no good, because he refused to reject the darkness that he was in, to admit that he was blind, and to seek the light. So he says, why didn't they sell this ointment for 300 pence and give it to the poor? So we can see that Mary and Martha and Lazarus, they were apparently very rich, because they 300 pence, that might be close to a year's salary for one of the common people. So that was a lot of money that they had bought this ointment for, and she used it to anoint Jesus before his death. Verse 7, then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. So he's told them that he's going to be going away. He's told them that he's going to go, and where he goes they cannot come. So they can help the poor at any time, but right now there's a unique event that's about to occur. There's certain good works that they can do at any time, but there's a work happening right now, a work of God, that is special, that is unique. And so as he's told them, his father has given him some very specific works to do, and here is one of those final great works on this earth that he was given to do, to die, to be lifted up. Verse 9. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Now, this is kind of an absurdity, because, I mean, if Jesus raised him from the dead, if they put him to death, he can just raise him from the dead again. So there's not much sense to that, but that's what they think they're going to do. So it says that they did that because many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. They were upset that many Jews were going away from them, looking at them as an authority, going away from the Jewish religion and Jewish traditions, and were instead believing on Jesus. They were coming out of religion, coming out from under the authority of men, and believing on Jesus and the Word of God. And so they were very upset and wanted to kill Jesus and Lazarus. Verse 12. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him, and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. So again, he confirms who he is by fulfilling these Old Testament scriptures of what the Christ would be like and what he would do. And we see, again, that even the disciples didn't fully understand it. They didn't fully comprehend it until later, as he told them that they would know the truth after he had been lifted up. Then they would know the truth. And so he said, you shall know, and the truth shall set you free. And so we see they couldn't fully understand until after that, until after he had been glorified. So that's why he said it's necessary for him to be glorified, that they might believe. Verse 17. The people, therefore, that was with him when he called Lazarus out of the grave and raised him from the dead bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they had heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. So they wanted to kill Jesus, but all the people believed him, and so they all gave him an escort into the city so that the Pharisees couldn't take him and do anything. And he says the people did that because of the miracle that he had done. Now, it's interesting, they didn't see the miracle, but they heard of it. And when they heard, many believed. So that was the final great miracle that he did, that the Son might be glorified, that they might understand and believe. And when they heard the word about what Jesus had done and said, then they believed on him. And so this is one of the final great events that is gathering all the flock together. As he said, he's got all his sheep, and he's not going to lose any of them. And so all those that were taught of God had to understand. And so he did these great works of God, giving that blind man sight and raising Lazarus from the dead. Those were specific things that had to happen before his death, so that all of the flock would be prepared, would have that belief and understand before he died. Verse 20. And there were certain Greeks among them which came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. So remember, Philip is a Greek name, and so Philip being from up there in Galilee and having a Greek name, apparently they felt more comfortable speaking to him, so they come and speak to Philip. These Greek proselytes, and they want to come and they want to see Jesus. So Philip comes and he tells Andrew, another of the disciples, and then they come and tell Jesus that there's these Greek proselytes that would like to come and see him. They've come up to the feast and they haven't gotten to see him before because they're, you know, from somewhere, other country far away. And so they've come to the feast though, and they'd like to see this Jesus that they've heard about. Verse 23, and Jesus answered them saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. So we saw last week that he raised Lazarus that he might be glorified, but there is an ultimate work here that he needs to do that will result in him being glorified. And so these Greek proselytes wanted to come and see him, and this is his response. Verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. So as he's been telling them, he's going to go away. He's going to die, that much fruit might be brought forth, that they might know the truth, and the truth set them free. So he's not always going to be here to be seen. These Greek proselytes want to come and see him, but now is the time for him to finish this work and be glorified. Verse 25, he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. So of those that follow him, only those that hate their life in this dark world will receive life everlasting. Those that continue in his word, because they love his word and they're looking for light in the darkness. And those that instead love this world, those that follow the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, they'll lose their life. They will die. Because they're already in death, in condemnation, as he said before. They're going to die. And it's only if they're looking for something more, looking to escape the darkness, looking to escape the death, looking to escape the condemnation, and so continue in his word that preaches that message of salvation, that they will be his disciples indeed, and that they will know the truth and be set free. So he's going to lay down his life, that we might also escape this life, and keep it unto life eternal. That our life might not be of this world, in the darkness, in the death, in the condemnation, in the subjection to sin. That our life might not be of this world, but of the Word, which we have heard and believed. Verse 26, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. So they'll no longer be the servants of sin, as he told them. But they'll be the servants of the Son. And then they will abide with him in the house of God forever. Where he is, there shall also his servant be. Because his Father, the owner of the house, will honor them. See, they'll not only be the servants of God, but he will honor them. He will write them into the will, so that they, along with Christ, with the Son, will also receive of the inheritance. In Proverbs 29:21 it said, he that delicately bringeth up his servant from a child shall have him become his son at the length. And so God has been delicately bringing up and teaching his servants. They've been taught of God that now at the length they might become his children. And so the Son has come to declare that and make the way for them to become the children of God, to be born of his Spirit and walk in the light and abide in everlasting life with him forever. And so he says, if any man serve me, let him follow me. These Greek proselytes, they just wanted to come and see him, but that doesn't do them any good. If they want to serve him, then they need to follow him. They need to hear his word and follow his word, not just come and see him. Verse 27. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it, and will glorify it again. So this is the hour that he has come for, that the Son might be glorified. He says that thy name, glorify thy name, that the Father would be glorified, but he says that the Son might be glorified. So, the Father is going to be glorified and the Son is going to be glorified because they are one. The Son is going to be glorified, and thy name, the name of the Father, is going to be glorified as well. And the Father said, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. So we've seen that he's glorified it in him raising Lazarus from the dead. But now he will glorify it how much more again by Christ himself being raised from the dead. He will indeed glorify it. He's spoken it from heaven. Just as Jesus spoke to his Father, now God speaks again to him. Verse 29, the people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. So just as the Son spoke for their sakes when he glorified his name before in Lazarus, now the Father speaks for their sakes that it might be glorified again. And so it's through the word that they understand and he is glorified, and they need to hear it and follow it and believe it. That is what they need. Not just to come and see Jesus. Verse 31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Now, how is this going to happen? How is the world going to be judged and the prince of the world going to be cast out if he's getting ready to die, if he's getting ready to leave? Well, he's going to explain that a little later. He doesn't explain it here, so we'll wait and see that. Verse 32. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. So he's told them before, he told Nicodemus that he was going to be lifted up. And he, as he said before, he has other sheep, not of this fold, that he must gather together into it. And when he is lifted up, he will indeed draw all men unto him. Verse 34. The people answered him, we've heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. How sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? So they say, are you speaking of yourself? Are you talking about yourself being lifted up? How can you be talking of yourself? How can you die if you are the Christ? They understood there are passages in the Old Testament such as this one from Psalm 45, verse 6. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. So the anointed one, the one anointed of God, his throne would be the throne of God forever and ever. The anointed one, the Messiah, the Christ. Didn't even he himself say that the Son abideth ever? So how is it that he's going to be lifted up? But you see, there were also Old Testament passages like Daniel 9:24, which said, 70 weeks were determined upon thy people and upon the holy city, to finish the transgression, and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. There, know therefore and understand, that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The streets shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. And after the 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the Prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. So there would be a time to come when the Most Holy would be anointed, when the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Christ, would be coming. But then the Messiah would be cut off. So yes, Christ will abide forever. But not in darkness. Not in a dark world. He is cut off now. He's cut off to make reconciliation for iniquity. He's cut off, but not for himself. That he might return to the salvation of many who are become the children of light. As it said later in Daniel 12:3, and that they which are wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and that they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Verse 35. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. So he says, look, I've told you I'm leaving. I'm the light of this world, and you are in darkness. You need to believe on me if you want to stop walking in darkness and instead have the light of life. Now is the time to begin doing that, to begin following me, to believe on me and start walking in the light. While you have the light. Because then you will have a new life. You will be reborn as children of life, as children of light. And then when I leave, you won't be in darkness. You'll have the light within you. And so then he goes and he hides himself from them. So that some wanted to come and see him. These Greek proselytes wanted to come and see him, but he hides from them. Because seeing him is pointless. What they need is to believe on him that they might be the children of light, to walk in the light so that they might have life and light. He's going to be going away and they won't be able to see him. They need a light in themselves. They need to begin walking in that light, hearing and following his word. Verse 37. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. So Jesus hides himself from all the people. And although he had done all of these miracles, the miracles didn't convince them. Again, John points out how the miracles do not cause people to believe on him when they refuse to hear the word. Verse 38, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? So the arm of the Lord was revealed. They saw these miracles, but it did them no good. Like their fathers, they will not believe signs and wonders. And they will not believe the report. Many witnesses report. The prophets in the scriptures, Isaiah himself, John the Baptist, the works, Christ said, just look at the works and they bear witness of me. Christ himself bore witness. But who hath believed their report? Who hath believed Isaiah's report which he spoke of him? The arm of the Lord was revealed, but they would not see it. They must believe the word, they must believe the report, or they won't believe the arm. And they will not believe the report. Verse 39. Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. They were in darkness, they are blind. And so they must hear. They cannot see, he's blinded their eyes. The arm of the Lord cannot truly be revealed to them. They cannot see if their eyes have been blinded. And so when it was revealed in the miracles, yet they still could not see. They could not see with their eyes and understand with their heart and be healed and have their eyes opened. And so they must hear. It's through the ear that they must come to that understanding and be healed. And if they will not hear, if they will not believe the report, then they cannot believe. Verse 41, these things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. So Isaiah back there in Israel was living in a time of darkness. But God showed him the light that he might be a prophet to his people. He saw his glory and spake of him. He saw his glory so that he might declare it to them, tell them through the word. They could not see it. They were in darkness. God had blinded their eyes. They had to but hear his report. When he spake of him, and they would not, and still they will not. Verse 42. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. So even among the chief rulers many did believe on him. We saw Nicodemus, for example. He was a chief ruler, a master in Israel, Jesus called him. Some of them did indeed believe on him, but they wouldn't confess him, because they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. They loved their place in their religion more than a place in the kingdom of God. And you have to ask, were they really, truly believing as they would need to unto salvation? And it's hard to say. We don't know. Maybe they were, maybe they weren't, but if they were, they were certainly mixed up in their priorities. Like Nicodemus, they were only willing to come to Jesus by night, when none others would see. They still weren't fully willing to give up their place in this world to have a place in the kingdom of God. They were still looking more to their position here than they were looking to be the servants of God. They were still more interested in the praise of men, loving men more than God. Verse 44. Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me." So here we have, in these last verses, the last message that Jesus preached before his death. The last message that he preached openly to all of the people. We see that many didn't believe, but he speaks now to those that did. And he says, "He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me." Believing on him is not just believing on him. Not believing on a man, not just believing on the Christ. It's believing on God. And not believing on him is not believing on God. He said the same thing before. John the Baptist said, "He that have believed his word hath set to his seal that God is true." Not a set to his seal that this man is telling the truth, but that God is true. Those that believe on him are believing on God, and those that aren't believing him are not believing on God. As we see, they loved men rather than God. They weren't actually interested in God and his kingdom. Only men and theirs. Verse 45. "And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me." You see, he is God. In Hebrews it said, he is the express image of his person. Throughout eternity, the angels in heaven, when they look upon God, they are looking upon Jesus Christ. And when you look upon Jesus Christ, you are looking upon God Almighty. He is the express image of his person. Verse 46, "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." So as he said many times, he's come to be a light. But the light is no good to someone who is shutting their eyes. The light is no good to someone who is blind. He said, "I'm become a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." It's only those who hear and believe and have their eyes opened who will cease to abide in darkness. He didn't come a light into the world that all might have light. Only those that are willing to believe and accept the light and come to the light are saved. Those that do not are in darkness, and they remain in darkness when they shut their eyes and refuse to see, and shut their ears and refuse to hear. Verse 47, "And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world." And here is how he expects them to come to belief. He said, not if any man see my works and believe not, but he said, if any man hear my words and believe not. He expects his words to be the basis upon which people believe on him. As he said before, he came not for condemnation. He said, if ye believe not on my words, I judge him not. But he said, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He came that they might believe and be saved and have light, not for condemnation. Verse 48, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." So in the last day, Jesus has told them that he is going to be the one who judges all men. He's told them now he is the resurrection and the life. He is going to be the one who chooses all that in their graves are going to hear his voice and come forth, some to everlasting life and some to everlasting damnation. But he isn't just going to pick and choose who gets saved and who does not arbitrarily. He's not going to judge those who have heard his words. The word is, if they rejected him, if they received them not, then the word will judge them. The word said, Jesus is the Son of God. He came to bring you light and free you from sin. Believe on him and you'll receive it. And if you said no, then by the judgment of the word, you wanted darkness rather than light. Sin rather than righteousness. Death rather than life. And so that's what you'll get. Damnation rather than salvation. The word will judge him in the last day. Verse 49, "For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak." So he hasn't spoken as a man. He's spoken as the Son of God, the Son of the Father. He is God, speaking the word of God, the commandment of God. And so to reject what he is saying is to bring upon yourself the judgment of God. Because it's God's word, his commandment, that you are rejecting. Verse 50, and I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. So in the word of God, in his commandment, is life everlasting. As John said at the beginning, in the word was life, and the life was the light of men. And so as Jesus said before, I have many things to say and to judge of you, but I speak to the world those things that I have seen of him. He came to speak to the world the things of life, and he knew that the commandment he'd been given was life everlasting, and so he spoke that word of life everlasting. And so this is why such an emphasis is here on the word in this book, because it's the word that is life everlasting. As he said in the beginning, indeed, in the word is life, and the life is the light of men. That's the message of the book of John. That you have to hear the word and believe, and then you are saved. And so we're going to stop there, and we're going to see next time Jesus begin talking to his disciples as he's about to be the night he is betrayed in chapter 13.